السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد خاتم النبيين، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: النظرة سهم من سهام إبليس مسمومة، فمن تركها مخافة لله أبدله الله تعالى إيمانا يجد حلاوته في قلبه، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، my dear respected brothers, elders, friends and youngsters, Alhamdulillah, it's a very blessed occasion that we are present in the masjid for the Salat of Jumu'ah. Similarly, it's a very blessed month, the month of Muharram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Muharram the month of Allah, Shahrullah al-Muharram. This is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever anything is attributed, the nisbat of that thing is created to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the attribution of that thing is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it implies the significance, the virtue of that thing. Like for example, the Kaaba is called the Baytullah, the house of Allah. It does not mean, na'udhu billah, that Allah ta'ala uses it as a place of dwelling, that Allah ta'ala resides in the house of Allah. It does not mean this. So why is it called the house of Allah then? If I said my house, it implies that I live in that house. Or someone else's house, it means they reside there, they live there. But we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no specific makan. Allah ta'ala is free from space and place and direction. The four directions, up, down, left, right, north, south, east, west, cannot encompass Allah ta'ala. Allah is beyond direction. Allah created direction. Anyone who says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in a specific jiha, any specific direction, this person is misguided. Because Allah ta'ala created direction. Because north, south, east, west, all of these things were created by Allah ta'ala. So you can't say Allah is neither here nor there. So Baytullah, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we call it this. And this is known as the house of Allah. Even in the Quran it's known as the house of Allah, because of the significance, because of its virtue. Similarly, many of the things which Allah ta'ala attributes to himself, it's because of the significance of that particular thing. So similarly, this particular month that we are in, the month of Muharram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called it Shahrullah al-Muharram, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that this month is very special and beloved in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wants to see ourselves as Muslims striving and trying very hard to please Him in this month. And that's why there are so many ahadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized fasting in this month. That there is no month in which fasting is more beloved to Allah ta'ala than in the month of Muharram. And remember, out of all of the ibadat, out of all of the acts of worship, fasting is the most difficult one. Out of all of the acts of worship, fasting is the most difficult one. It's very difficult, it's not easy. In terms of the daily ibadat that we do, reciting Quran, performing salah, giving charity, fasting is difficult. So out of all of the acts of worship, one of the greatest and most difficult ones is fasting. And on top of that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, this month of Muharram is the month in which fasting carries more reward than any other month. So if fasting carries more reward, which is the most difficult worship, then what about all of the other worship which is not as difficult to perform? We should perform them as much as we can, whether it's recitation of Quran, whether it's dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's performing extra nawafil, nafal, salah. What happens is, when we get a lot of free time, like now it's school holidays, when we get a lot of free time, our mind goes towards making a plan. And the plan is always to do with relaxation and just chilling out, you know, letting off steam. Whereas this free time is one of the most important times in which a person should try and move forward in their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what? On a daily basis, I try and recite one juz of the Quran, one para of the Quran, but I don't have the time. Sometimes I end up reciting half, sometimes one quarter. Now I have so much free time, not only will I recite one juz every day, I'm going to recite two. On a daily basis, I try and send salawat, durood sharif, upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 50 times, 100 times. Now I have so much free time, I'm going to do it 300 times or 400 times. So whenever a Muslim sees their free time amplified and extended, and they see they have an excess of free time, our mind should go towards capitalizing on that time, maximizing the benefit in that time. That I want to use this time to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who knows when I will next get this free time again? As soon as this period of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks finishes, I'll be back to work, back to study. And then I know how much time I have. Maybe for another 5-6 months, I won't be able to have as much time as I have now. So this is why it's very important that we utilize time. So Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. We have holidays, many of us, especially youngsters. And on top of that, we have free time. And on top of that, it's the month of Muharram. So many special opportunities for us to take benefit from. So the topic of my talk was not this today. I wish to speak about something a bit more difficult. I think it connects to free time as well. It links into free time. You see, out of all of the fitan, all of the issues that the Muslims are facing today, there are many issues. And whenever we sit down, we can talk about how this is going wrong and how our country, this is happening in the country, and this is happening throughout the world, the global issues and the national issues. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states clearly in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change the halat, the conditions of the people of the world, until the people change themselves. When we start making ourselves better, that's when we start seeing the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming down. Everything that happens, look, there are so many hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, Allah's la'na is upon this person, Allah's la'na is upon that person. This word la'na, we take it, what does la'na mean? Someone who disobeys their parents, Allah's la'na is upon them. Someone who hears Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name and does not send salawat and salutations upon him, Allah's la'na is upon them. Someone who reaches the month of Ramadan and is not forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's la'na is upon them. These are from the sahih hadith, from the authentic hadith. And then we have so many different categories of people that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Allah's la'na is upon them. What does la'na mean? Imam Raghib al-Isfahani in his Mufradatul Quran, he mentions la'na is al-bu'du 'anir rahmah, to be far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if every single person in society is doing something which is bringing Allah's la'na, and la'na means to be far away from Allah's mercy, that means Allah's mercy is not even falling in this community, on the society, descending on the society. Because everybody is doing one thing or the other which is bringing Allah ta'ala's la'na. And la'na means absence of rahmah, when Allah's rahmah does not descend. So if Allah's rahmah is not going to descend, what do you think is going to happen to us? That's why it's very important that we take a stock of ourselves. Stop saying, this person's fault, his fault, her fault, that country's fault. If only these people sorted themselves out, everything would be okay. If only that particular king in that particular country sorted himself out, we'd all be fine. It doesn't work like that. Decisions are not made on the basis of one person. Decisions are made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the basis of my a'mal, my a'mal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, when a servant's a'mal go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time the consequences, the natija of the a'mal come down. If you did good a'mal, good actions, expect good things. If you did bad a'mal, expect bad things. Don't come crying when you're going through hardship and difficulty, when it was your own fault, you dug your own grave. So that's why, my dear respected brothers and elders, we need to sort ourselves out. And one of the biggest issues that we have today, you know, mashallah, now we live in a Western society, we live in a multicultural society, we live in the 21st century, everybody's going into studies, everybody's working in jobs, everybody's out and about. And when we're out and about, there's a lot of exposure. Firstly, exposure to the opposite gender. This is happening a lot. Anyone who works in any job, we can't escape being exposed to the opposite gender. And because of being exposed to the opposite gender, when we have weaknesses inside of us, spiritual weaknesses, those spiritual weaknesses are increased and amplified every time I come into contact with the opposite gender. And it's so easy for those spiritual weaknesses to increase, because the children here, I have to be a bit more vague. Our spiritual weaknesses are increased sometimes even by hearing the voice of somebody. Can happen. Even by hearing the voice of someone who speaks in a certain manner, I have a spiritual weakness, that weakness can amplify. At that moment in time, I won't do anything. I might not even register. This is the problem. Sometimes I might not even register that I've been affected by that voice. I might not even register there and then that I've been affected by that face, that beautiful face I just saw. Might not register it there and then. But later on, my thoughts will activate. And when my thought activates, then my desires will activate. And when a person's desires activate, then a person starts to think of how they can go about releasing those desires, acting upon those desires. And nowadays there are plenty of things available. Haram, impure, disgusting things. But a person goes towards these things. And that's the reason why, I don't want to use these words or these terms, but we live in a society which they say, it's all there in your face, you can't escape it. You can't escape it. You can't say to anyone, don't go and work. You can't say to anyone, don't go and study. You can't say to anyone, I want you to sit in your room and lock your door and stay there for your whole life. It doesn't work like that. And you can't say to anyone, go and shop in a supermarket which is men only. Or to a female, go and shop in a supermarket which is female only. There's no such thing. Don't go and shop in a supermarket where there's no music. There are no songs which are being blasted, which are talking about, having romance and love for this person and that person. Go and shop in such a supermarket. They don't exist. Everywhere we go, fitna is hitting us in the face. That's why it's very important that the way a person plans, we need to have a spiritual plan to safeguard ourselves. You know, a lot of these things, watching disgusting things on the web, online, on dirty websites, these things are increasing. Filthy actions that people are performing. Marriage is breaking up. Divorce is happening. The rate of divorces is increasing every single day. And a lot of times it's infidelity, it's people are cheating on their spouses. And a lot of it is just to do with being exposed to things that are happening out there. Even this, going out and choosing a person's spouse, nowadays society is accepting it. Understandable, sometimes by not accepting it, there's issues as well. I'm not going to cover all angles. But I'm saying if someone has the ability to go out shopping for their spouse, everywhere they go, wherever they work, wherever they study, they're looking to see who I can be with. And as soon as someone expresses any kind of interest towards them, they jump on it. And then they get married to this person, and mashallah, they do everything in a halal way. Well, if this person has that habit already of going out every time without any barriers, without any restrictions, socializing with the opposite gender, what's to stop them from those same desires happening next time they meet somebody else? And it can happen very easily. As soon as you get married, and then after marriage, there's that period of, like they call it, the honeymoon period. After the honeymoon period come hard days, difficult days. And then come children. And then after children, there's even more difficult days. And in all of those times, then the woman that you married or the person you married is not exactly the same person that you married 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And then age kicks in. And then so many other emotions kick in. And then you see a stressed out person running around after the kids all day long. And then in the beginning, she was looking after herself for you. And she was, keeping herself... she's presenting herself in a beautiful manner for you, but now she doesn't have the time. And you're that person who goes out to work and you're intermingling with others, especially opposite gender, in a very carefree manner. What's to stop shaitan from putting a little waswas, a little thought in your mind? So, it's surprising, you'd be surprised. A lot of people come to me privately, and maybe they approach me because I'm young. They don't want to approach Shahsab. Because if they approach Shahsab, Shahsab knows everyone. So they don't approach him, they'll come to me. What's the ruling on second marriage in Islam? What's the ruling on second marriage? Do I have to tell my wife? Now that's an innocent question. It's an absolutely valid, plausible question. If someone comes and says, what's the ruling on second marriage? We say it's permissible, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran. But I know where this person is coming from. They're intermingling with the opposite gender day and night. A thought has been planted in their mind. That thought has grown. And it's amplified, and every time whatever they're doing, they're thinking about, I wish I can be with someone else. I wish I can be with someone else. I wish I can be with someone else. So there comes the question. The question is not a, mashallah, very innocent question from a very good person who has some kind of situation that they need to deal with. This is a question from a fatan, a person who's put themselves in a place of fitna and a place of tribulation. Of course he's going to ask these type of questions. And that's going to be the first of them. Second one is, do I have to inform my wife when I do a second marriage? Do I need to let her know? Can I buy a separate house and keep it overseas somewhere and she can stay there and I never tell my wife that I'm going to? So basically some kind of illegitimate kind of thing going on here, illegal kind of thing going on here. What is this? Where does Sharia allow this? That you're such a coward you can't approach your wife, you've put yourself into a problem and now you're doing this behind her back situation. And it's not going to end there, because if you're someone who still puts himself in that position again and again, you're going to go do it again. You're going to go do it again. And it happens. And it happens. And look at, I'll bring an example of non-Muslims. Look at non-Muslims who do this. Because they have no restriction. Muslims are doing this nowadays, putting no barriers, no restrictions. Look at the non-Muslims who do it. They are never faithful to a partner. They can't even stay with a partner for 5 months, 1 year. Why? Because they'll go out, talk to someone else, and they'll go and cheat on them. And you see so many of them. We don't even need to give examples. There are people who are, you know, in the hierarchy of our, you know, parliamentary structure and others like that, who are doing these kind of things. And the reality is, and we're not looking at them to criticize them, they don't believe in Allah, they don't believe in Islam. I'm talking about Muslims who are doing this now. And they're taking this in such a light manner. When we say weddings, you go to a wedding, separate the men and the women. The men should have their own kind of place. The women should have their own kind of place. People say, you're being too backwards. What is this? No one's going to, you know, I'm here with my family, I'm just going to sit with them. What do women do when they go to weddings? How do they dress themselves? So if you're going to have a situation like this and you're going to say it's fine for the men to sit there, how long do we wait for food in the wedding halls, my brothers? Do we go there straight away, food is served on my plate, I eat and I'm out of the door? Does that ever happen? Has that ever happened in a wedding in your life, in our lives? You go to a wedding for 3, 4, 5 hours sitting there, literally stretching my legs out, looking around the room. Maybe I'll go on my phone for a bit. Now looking around the room. Now if I'm sitting in a mixed hall, what am I going to be looking at? I'm not going to be looking at the chandelier now, am I? So this is the issue. You know, we take these things in a very light manner. Maybe my tone is coming across a bit harsh and I do apologize. But we need to take stock of ourselves. We've fallen into this kind of negligence. This is just the prelude of my talk. This is not even going into the talk yet. But, inshallah, I've got a few minutes. Alhamdulillah. Just give me... So first of all, we need to control these situations. We need to minimize these situations where we will put ourselves into issues. These are for the elders. And for our youngsters as well, we need to minimize all of these watching TV, watching movies, all of these things. You know, someone says, people say, you know, I'm just watching a movie. I'm not watching anything really haram, am I? I'm not watching someone taking off all their clothes or something like that. I'm just watching them. If you have a spiritual weakness, it just takes a trigger to set it off. And that trigger can be from anywhere. That trigger could be in a documentary about bumblebees. But if you have a reporter or a commentator commentating on that, your mind will latch onto that because that's your weakness. It could be, like I said, the voice of a particular person. That could be your weakness. There and then you won't do anything. But later when you're alone, your mind will go into overdrive. And as much as we say to people, another thing, as much as we say to people, don't stay alone, there is a time when we're alone. At night time, we need to go to sleep. Many times they're alone. Even for married people, you know, some of the stories that we've been exposed to, it's not even munasib or appropriate to share them. Married men who've been married for 10, 20, 30 years, who have children who are old and married, they are falling into these issues where they are going to other avenues. I'm not even talking about halal avenues. You know, doing disgusting things. And it's because these triggers, these senses are amplified, and when they are alone, they fall into fitna, they fall into sin. So remember, my dear respected brothers and elders, it's a day and age we can't avoid fitna. It's there in our face. But I have got to become very, very strict on myself. If I am someone who has a specific weakness, and every male has a weakness, then I need to minimize those situations in which I have to interact with others of the opposite gender. I have to be very careful about this. Secondly, bedroom is bedroom. Because the bed is there. What do you do on the bed? You go to sleep. Don't hang around too much in the bedroom. We need to make a habit of this. That I go to my bedroom when it's time for me to hit the sack, like they say, go to sleep. Apart from that, I'll be downstairs, I'll be outside, I'll be doing something. If I'm going to spend ages, huge amounts of time in the bedroom, going on my devices, looking at this, looking at that, the desires will amplify. You're going to do a bit of something which is good, 5 minutes of that, and you know, shaitan, you've got to understand the way shaitan works. What shaitan does is he makes you do 5 minutes of something very good. Recite Quran for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Why don't you listen to some recitation of Quran? Why don't you listen to some speech on YouTube? So you're like, yeah, you know, I had a good day today. Let me just relax. I'll lie down in my bedroom, on my bed. I listen to 10 minutes of recitation of Quran, 10 minutes of something else, or do some good thing. Now you'll do that, you'll turn it off, and now shaitan will say, you've done so much good things today, why don't you just chill out a bit? And then you might go on a game, you might read some kind of comic book, some kind of novel, you might go on YouTube, watch some kind of YouTube video, but then he's pushing you, shaitan slowly transitioning you. You've done a good amount of things, you've done so much charity work today, you've gone and you've done performed all your salah in the masjid today, and you've done this and you've done that. So you deserve the right to relax a bit. So he'll make you do something which is a neutral kind of zone. Play a game, watch a YouTube video, do something like that when you buy. And then he'll say, why don't you try something else? And this is how slowly, slowly shaitan transitions us, and we transition into starting at a very good place and ending up in a very bad place. And we meet youngsters all the time who you don't see in the masjid for many weeks. And you say, where were you? And he says, you know, I was in a dark place. That's literally what they say. What does that mean, dark place? I fell into this spiral where sometimes it's to do with being in your room all the time and watching things which are disgusting. It could be using substance abuse. It could be one thing or the other. And then you feel so terrible that you think, how can I come to the masjid when I'm so disgusting? And this is exactly where shaitan tries to take every single person. Because that hole that you're in now is the hole where you are in a form of depression, and when you feel that Allah Ta'ala will not love you, Allah Ta'ala will not have mercy upon you, and that stops you from going to the masjid, it stops you from hanging around with good people, and that's it. You're in that hole, and sometimes you're in that hole for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months, and if there's no one to kick you out of that hole, you're going to stay there for as long as it takes. And I'm talking about those who have some kind of religious background. Those who are irreligious, those who don't even present themselves in the masjid, you're lucky to see them in Jummah, they'll be there at the back near the door where you can give them a wave, maybe they'll see it, maybe they won't. Or you see them on Eid day or something like this. These brothers or these individuals, there's no barrier. Doing whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do it. So this is why, my dear respected brothers and elders, we need to develop the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith, اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ. Wherever you are, make sure you have the taqwa of Allah Ta'ala. What is taqwa? Taqwa is the driving force that makes the person stay away from sin. We need taqwa. We need Allah Ta'ala's fear. I think I mentioned it last time about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, who used to say, if we did not have the khashya of Allah Ta'ala, do you think I would be where I am today? Meaning one of the driving forces which helps a person do good things is Allah's fear. Now if I look in my heart and I say, I don't have fear of Allah, what does fear of Allah mean? If someone said to a child, there's a policeman here, child, let's say, 3-year-old, there's a policeman here, policeman, policeman. He'll say, policeman, policeman, policeman. He won't know what that means. He'll carry on being naughty, he'll carry on doing whatever he does, because he doesn't understand the implication of what a policeman means. But you say to a 20-year-old zooming down the street in his car, 50 miles per hour in, I don't know, 40 miles per hour lane, or 20 miles per hour lane, and then he sees a police car, he'll brake so hard, he'll probably come flying out the window. Because he knows what police officer means. So many times when we take the name of Allah as Muslims, we've been born and brought up as Muslims, we don't have the importance of Allah's name. So you remember Allah, you take Allah's name, but there's no real fear, there's no real connection. The real fear would mean that you stop there and then, my Allah is watching me. So we need to develop this awareness of Allah Ta'ala. And that's why we do dhikr. And that's why the ulama advise us to increase in our dhikr and remembrance of Allah, because this is a shield. This is a barrier. Maybe inshallah I can continue my talk next week. We're out of time today. Allah Ta'ala gives us tawfiq, ability to understand these few words. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح أكبر لا إله إلا الله
It's the school holidays, so mashallah, a lot of our youngsters are off. Those who are in college, in university. So we want to see everyone here early for Jum'ah. Inshallah, next week I'll be doing the talk as well. And it's a very important topic. And sometimes looking at the faces, the few faces that are here, it's difficult to really address the topic and give it the credit that it deserves, or explain it the way that it deserves to be explained, or it needs to be explained. So that's why it's very important that we all attend early, inshallah, for Jum'ah. So at 20 past one, the talk starts. 20 past one, roughly, this is when the talk starts. So we all need to be here, inshallah. The Pichle Jumejo collection, last Friday, the collection that was raised was £1,305. Allah Ta'ala tamam saathiyon ki donations ko qabool farmaye. Aur isi tarah Haji Mehdi Khan marhoom rahmatullahi alayhi ke liye bhi dua ki darkhast ki gayi hai. Unki family ne £50 masjid ko de ke dua ki darkhast ki hai. Allah Ta'ala unko ghareeq rahmat farmaye. Allah Ta'ala unko tamam gunahon ko maaf farmaye. Aur isi tarah marhoom Yusuf bhai ke liye dua ki darkhast ki gayi hai. Unki family ne bhi £150 masjid ko de ke dua ki darkhast ki hai. Allah Ta'ala unko bhi ghareeq rahmat farmaye. Allah Ta'ala tamam murdegan muslimin ko مغفرت فرمائے. Inshallah, it's the summer holiday, so we're trying to keep one or two events or programs in the masjid. There will be a few speeches probably towards the middle or towards the end of the month of August. So inshallah, whatever we arrange, there will be the posters that will be advertised and shared on our social media pages and on the screen outside. So just keep an eye out for those, inshallah. And also we're planning a barbecue and like a fun day for our youngsters and for everyone to kind of attend. There will be some words of inspiration and speeches and things like that. At the same time, there will be barbecue. So inshallah, we're planning that as well towards the end of August. So keep an eye out for these things, inshallah. And when these things do happen, everyone try and volunteer, help out, and participate in them. So that, you know, our volunteers and those who are working behind the scenes are motivated to do more of these kind of things. Just to bring in all our youngsters and things like that. We don't want everyone to feel like you come to the masjid and you just read your salah and you go home. We want there to be other activities. At the same time, we want everyone to bond and connect with the masjid, inshallah. I haven't mentioned anything about Ashura. I think it's the month of Muharram. So in 1 minute, we have on, I think, the 8th of August. On the 8th of August, it's 8th of August. The 8th of August is going to be Sunday, the 9th of Muharram. And I think the 9th of August is going to be the 10th of Muharram. Well, we can check the dates later anyway. But inshallah, on the 10th of Muharram is the day of Ashura. And the day of Ashura is a very special day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever fasts on the day of Ashura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives their previous year's sins. And it's a very special fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage the Sahaba to fast on Ashura. And this fast used to be fard initially. Before the month of Ramadan, the fasting in the month of Ramadan was made obligatory. The fasting on the day of Ashura was obligatory. So it's coming in the next 1 or 2 days, 3 days. So we should all try and fast on that day. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned to us, if you fast on the day of Ashura, you should fast 1 day before it, which is either the 9th, or 1 day after, which is the 11th, just so that there's a difference between us and the Jewish community, who only fast on the 10th itself. Because they believe that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was freed from the tyranny of Fir'aun on that particular day. So they used to fast on that day. They used to regard that day to be a day of Eid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to create a difference, we should fast on that day and 1 day before and 1 day after. So inshallah we should all try and do this.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله الذي جعل الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان وفضل زمانا على زمان كما فضل مكانا على مكان وإنسانا على إنسان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا إلى الخيرات ومنها صوم عاشوراء يوم الحسنات ونهانا عن المنكرات ومنها ما ابتدعوا فيه من المخترعات صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين أقاموا الدين الواجبات منها والمندوبات وأبطلوا رسوم الجاهلية المحرمات منها والمكروهات وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد حان يوم عاشوراء للناس فيه معروفات ومنكرات ظلماء فمن الأول استحبابان الصوم فيه فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام صيام يوم عاشوراء أحتسب على الله أن يكفر السنة التي قبلها وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام صوموا عاشوراء وخالفوا فيه اليهود وصوموا قبله يوما وبعده يوما أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات وذكر الحكيم استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأيها الإخوة الكرام
أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله والمواظبة على ذكر الله، ألا خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن خير الأمور عوازمها وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. من أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأقضاهم علي، وأعلمهم بالحلال والحرام معاذ بن جبل، وأقرأهم لكتاب الله أبي بن كعب. ألا وإن لكل أمة أمينا، وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة بن الجراح. الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام وأهله في كل مكان يا رب العالمين، اللهم وفق ولاة المسلمين لما تحب وترضى. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Please straighten the rows. صفحة دروس کر لیجئے گا. خالی جگہوں پھول فرما دیجئے. A lot of brothers standing at the back, so please move forward inshallah, fill in the gaps, and they can move forward as well. Please can everyone ensure mobile phones are switched off. All gaps are straight, all gaps are filled, the rows are straightened inshallah. Everyone should be standing shoulder to shoulder.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك، فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ومن عذاب النار ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم آمين.